Today, we have part three of a series entitled Seven Levels of Intimacy with God. Very powerful thing that we all desire. And today, we're looking at part three, how you represent God. Now, we just sang a song about wanting the glory of the Lord to fill all of the earth. To fill all of the earth. And he is desirous of that himself. And he is God over all the earth, except where he would need to break his word. And that he will not do. He gave his creation the power, the authority to rule this earth. He gave his creation free will for us to be able to make decisions. You know, kids have dolls. Little girls especially have little dolls, and they have the doll say things and do things. They have little tea parties, and they have little houses that they have them in, and they have little playmates come over, and it's a lot of fun for a while, but then the little girl grows up, and the doll's pretty to look at, but not to play with so much anymore. And just think of it from God's perspective. He gave us free will so we would not be puppets. So we could actually have a tea party with him. We could actually carry on a conversation with him. And it's not like he's telling us what to say and what to do. He gives us his guidelines in his word that definitely that is our manual for life and for godliness and for victory. But he's not saying the words for us like a ventriloquist would do. He gave us free will to make choices, and it's our decision whose side we're going to be on, because down to the bottom line, there are only two sides, and we've got God's way, and we've got Satan's way, and everything we think, say, and do is going to partner with one side or the other. It's going to be like a magnet attracting one side or the other. It's going to be that partnership. And which way do we want it to be? Because we know that Satan's will and his way are really all about deception. And so we're not really cool about deception. But you know, when we partner with God, we're doing it through obedience. When we're partnering with Satan, we do it through our disobedience to God's word. So again, it is our choice. And you know, God's always a gentleman. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He will never force us to do anything. He will never push us down to make sure we're down on our face worshiping God. No, he wants us to take those initiatives. He wants us to grow into it. He wants us to desire it with all of our hearts so that we can grow into it. And this is what the seven levels is all about. It's a pathway. It's a process of growing closer to God. With each step, we get more intimate with him. We grow closer and we have better communication with him. So as we take steps closer to him, he takes steps closer to us, and he meets us. He really wants us to come, but he's not going to go and just grab us out. He wants us to reach out our hands to him and say, God, take my hand, walk with me. I want to walk with you. Praise God. I think I'm on the verge of crying. It was such an anointed worship time, especially that last song. So the pathways are available to us to achieve these goals. But if we choose to be complacent and lazy and fun-loving and partying and carousing, you know, God won't interfere. He won't try to stop us. He won't yank us away from that. He'll let us do what we want to do because we have that free will. But we do, if we're born again, we do still go to heaven. We just miss out on all the intimacy that we could have here on earth before we get to heaven. And I just know we're going to be learning a lot in heaven. And, you know, it might be better if we don't get to heaven in diapers. Maybe we get a little more advanced in our stage of maturity before we get there. I don't know about you, but I don't think diapers would be real comfortable. Can you picture God changing our diapers in heaven? I don't think so. But anyway, it's a choice between Savior and Lord. Because as Savior, we're saved. No matter what we do, once we're saved, unless we choose otherwise, we're going to heaven. But the Lordship of Jesus Christ in our lives is what leads us into that intimacy. It's what gives us victory, purpose, plan, meaning to our lives that has value, lasting value. And so we started with part one, who is God to you? Remember that along with each level come responsibilities, rights, privileges and varying degrees of power and authority. Let me repeat that. Along with each level come responsibilities, rights, privileges, and varying degrees of power and authority. So we look at who is God to you, and we said that we begin when we're most distant to God. When we first come to recognize that there is a God, and we call him Creator. And that's somebody up in the sky somewhere, not close at all. And then we go to him as Judge, when we recognize that there will be a judgment day, and that he is the Judge. And again, that's a little bit closer, but still kind of out there. And still Old Covenant, by the way. Both Creator and Judge are really starting out from Genesis and moving through the Old Covenant of who he is. But then we get saved. And then Jesus is our Savior. And we come to God as the Father of Jesus. The Father of Jesus. We're now born again. Often when we refer to Jesus at this point in our relationship, we call him Christ. And Christ means the anointed one in his anointing. It is the title, Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus. It's Jesus, the anointed one, and his anointing. That's how it's supposed to be, but much of the church talks about Christ. We come to Christ. We tell the world about Christ. We pray in the name of Christ. And that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says we pray in the name of Jesus. The power is in the name of Jesus. And when we get hold of that, then he becomes a personal Lord. And then we find there's more intimacy. Now we're using the name of Jesus and finding, wow, this is really great. This means something. He's given me power and authority in his name. Wow. And then he becomes our friend. And how special that is, that he would call us friend. Not acquaintance, not somebody distant, but a friend. Someone that you share with, someone you talk with. You don't talk to, you talk with. Because you have your time of sharing, and then the other person has their time of sharing with you. And it's a joint venture, if you will. And so, that's really special. Then, because he's friend, he also becomes counselor, because we trust him to know that he's wise and we have much to learn from him. And as he is our counselor, then we can now be led by the Spirit of God. And, you know, I'm thinking of an example that was used in the original teaching of this, and remembering that when you're in school, most of the time we talk to the teacher with respect, or at least most of us did. don't know about today in the schools. Might be a different situation, but like we wouldn't be saying, Mr. Bill, or we wouldn't just say, hey, Bill, or hey, Frida, hey, Deborah. We wouldn't just say, hey, use the teacher's first name. What do? We say, hey, Mr. Teacher, Mrs. Teacher, whatever their name is, Ms. Teacher. Okay, so we treat them with respect. And yet, they're a counselor. They're someone we learn from. They're someone we respect and we grow with. And then comes the ultimate step in who God is to us, and that's Him as Father. Abba, Daddy. The word Abba being a Hebrew word, and it does mean daddy. It's that, you know, run to your daddy, climb up on his lap, and just hug on him. That's the kind of father. That's the kind of relationship. It's not this old stodgy, oh, yes, father. Yes. No. That's not intimate. Intimate is daddy. It's Abba. It's, I love you, daddy. I want to be with you, daddy. I want to spend time with you, daddy. And this is where we grow. And through that, then we learn that with our daddy, in the name of our Savior Jesus, we have that power and authority, and we can have victory in our lives. So that was part one. Part two, receiving your healing. This is really very awesome. The emphasis of this is trust. And you know, it is for our entire relationship with God in every respect. We need to learn to trust Him. God is worthy of our trust. He is true to His word. He is all that He says He is. He can do all that He says He can do. If we do our part, He's right there ready to go with it. And so we come to God as a little child. Even if we're 90 years old, we come to God as a little child. Because it's not our physical age, it's the attitude of our heart. It's coming to Him in humility and saying, God, I want to be with you. I want to learn from you. And here with healing, it's the first simple action of asking God to heal us through the anointing with oil. And then we go on to peace and unity in the prayer of agreement. We're getting more powerful. It took at least three people with the first group, the person who's being challenged, and it says call for the elders of the church, so there must be at least two of them. So we're looking at least three people there. And now we go down to two people, the prayer of agreement. An agreement must be agreement all the way along, every point on the same level. If there's agreement on 9 points out of 10, that's not agreement. It must be 10 out of 10. And if it's less than that, then the person who's believing for the miraculous healing needs to come down to agree with the person who's believing for a successful surgery. Okay? Then we go on to the prayer of faith. Aha, Pastor Joshua's favorite scripture, Mark 11:24. The prayer of faith. This is really trusting God. Because the prayer of faith causes you to do things that you wouldn't do in the natural. Causes you to take steps that you wouldn't take otherwise. Because people look at you and say, are you pretending? Are you making things up? He said, no. I prayed the prayer of faith, and when I completed it with amen, I believed that I received when I prayed. I believed that I received then. So I have it now, so I'm going to act like I have it now. You may not see it. That's okay. In the spirit, I see it. I have it. And I'm expecting to see it anytime. And that's really powerful. So now we have the prayer of authority. As we grow stronger in God, we grow more bold and more confident in the name of Jesus. We have the prayer of authority where we start commanding. We command our bodies to be healed. We command the sickness and disease and the symptoms to leave. And we tell them, go in the name of Jesus. That's authority. And then we go to binding demons of infirmity and casting them out of our lives, our homes, our bodies, and just we're really on top now because we're learning God's ways of doing things. And then from commanding the demons, now we bind Satan. And we command him, take his hands off our lives in Jesus' name. And finally, we walk in love, just pure, beautiful, agape love. God's love that loves no matter what. It's a loving and a forgiving love. And as we do that, then we walk in divine help. We're no longer seeking healing. We're walking in that health that Jesus walked in. We're emulating our Jesus. We're emulating our God. And we're saying, this is what he wanted. This is why he paid the price. That's why he took the 39 stripes upon his back for us to pay the price for every sickness, disease, infirmity, and pain. That's Satan's junk. He didn't want us to experience that. He wants us to be healed and to be whole and to be able to serve him in total freedom with our bodies, to be able to come before him, loving him and worshiping him. And now we come to part number three, today's lesson, how you represent God. We start off with Son of Man. We are God's hands extended. We are his representatives here on earth. And you know, we may be the only Jesus that some people see. So think about it. How are we living our lives when we're around other people at the store, at the bank, in the mall, wherever we go? How are we acting? Are we acting? What would Jesus do? Are we thinking about that? Or are we just in the flesh? What about when we're out driving? We're driving. How are we driving? Are people respectful of us? Are we maybe going too fast? Are we maybe sending signals to some of the drivers we're passing because we're displeased with what they did or how they did? You know, I had a friend some years ago who was a Christian, had one of the symbols on his car, bumper sticker that let everybody know he was a Christian. And one time he's on the highway and he's ticked off. Somebody cut him off or something. And he just went into a rage about it. Followed the guy off the freeway and just basically grabbed him out of the car and wanted to sock him. And he's carrying this Christian symbol on his car. And he got to thinking about it later and thought, instead of saying, God forgive me, I need to change my lifestyle so he could leave the symbol on, he chose to take the symbol off his car so he could live the way he wanted to live. Isn't that sad? But those are the choices that we make. Those are the decisions that we have to do on a day-to-day basis. That's part of what determines, are we getting closer to God or are we getting farther away from God? We don't want to go backwards, definitely. If you think in terms of my husband's example of the Christian life as a car that's going uphill, it has an accelerator, but no brakes. So if you kind of take a time out, guess what? You don't stand still. You don't stagnate. You go backwards because you take off your foot off that accelerator and whoa, you're starting to slide backwards. Depending on how steep that hill is, could be quite rapid retreat. We don't want to do that. We want to go forward. We want to go up toward God. So don't wait until you're holy and good. You don't want to act like that. But on the other hand, some people would rather think, oh, I have to be perfect before I can ever say anything to anybody about Jesus. And you know what? you're never going to say anything then, because that's not going to happen in probably the near future. You know, we're aiming toward perfection. The Word of God talks about us being perfect, but that too is part of the process, the walking through the levels, the growing closer to God. As we grow closer to God, then what we're finding is it's like the onion layers. And in fact, Pastor Matthew mentioned an example of this the other day. You know, a year ago, you might watch a particular movie and you're okay with it. And you remember, oh, that was kind of a fun movie. Let's see that again. And then you go to see it again. And it's like, I didn't remember that bad word being in there. Oh, I didn't remember that. Oh, that's really sad. And you're like, you know what? Forget that. We're not going to watch that one anymore. So what's happened? Well, that person has grown closer to God. And now you're fine-tuning. Something that didn't used to be a sin, you're recognizing now as being a sin, and you're not comfortable with it anymore. You were comfortable with it a year ago because of where you were. But now you've grown closer to God, and you're seeing this as evil, and you don't want any part of it. So that's part of the process. And when you see those things, rejoice. Be glad. Turn the TV off then. Walk away from the movie. That's part of the growth. That's part of the growth. So then we go on. Let's talk about Son of Man, a couple of scriptures before we move on to the next one. Psalm 144:3, Lord, what is man that thou takest knowledge of him? Or the son of man that thou makest account of him? God saying, we're sons of men, and this is important. This is who we are. Joshua 24:15, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. God, we're with you. We're hooked on. We're grabbing hold. We're flying with you. This is the only way. And then Psalm 1, verses 2 and 3, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. It's like the cow chewing her cud. Meditate, it means to mutter out loud. It's thinking about it. It's working on it, talking about it, saying the scriptures over and over again. Verse 3, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. You're planted, you're growing roots that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. That's what we want, right? And this is just level one. It's like I talk about tithing and giving and the blessings of God for tithing, which is step one, are just amazing. He sends so much bounty that there's not room enough to receive it. And we haven't even gotten to the place where people plant their seed to multiply for prosper. So God's prosperous at every level. He gives us that opportunity to prosper very much at each level that we go. So now we get to be a child of God. And this is very special. This is the difference between milk and meat. That right now, as a child of God, it's milk time. It's feeding time. It's growing time. And probably as a little child, we need to get the feeding, maybe in small amounts, but frequently. So maybe instead of just sitting down with the word one time a day and that's it, as a baby Christian, we need to feed on the word. Read a little here, read a little there, a scripture here, a chapter there, throughout the day. Get fed. Spiritual feeding. Just as our physical bodies need food throughout the day, our spiritual beings need to be fed on the word of God. And incidentally, maturity in Christianity is not based on physical age. It's not based on how many years someone has been born again. Someone who was born again 25 years ago may be less mature than someone who was born again a year ago. It depends on what they do with it. Remember, I said earlier, we all have choices. And if the person accepts Jesus but continues to live in the same lifestyle, probably not going to grow much. But the person who grabs hold of it, reads the word, prays, goes to church regularly, talks to people about Jesus, this person is going to grow exponentially. And I think my husband is a great example of one who grabbed hold of Jesus and the word of God. When God revealed himself to him and he became born again, well, I tell you, there wasn't anything more important to him. And within a very short while, he found miracles were happening to him, and he's keeping a record of them. And it would be like the first few would be in great detail. And then they were coming so fast and so many in such a short time that he was starting to shorten it to maybe down to a line. Then maybe it was a couple of words. And then it was like, oh my, I can't keep up with this. By the time he hit 1,000 in, was it 9 months, honey? 1,000 miracles in 9 months. He stopped writing them down. It was too much to keep up with because of the goodness of God. And God meeting him where he was. He saw the word of God. He said, this is changing my life. This is going to change other people's lives. So he took it and he grabbed it and he ran with it. And God's like, yes, my son. And he grabbed hold of it with him. And the two of them, God and Joshua, just ran with it and affected people right, left, and center. And it was just awesome. He was having so much fun. And I know God was too. It's like, this is what he wanted all of his kids to do. So that was someone who became very mature very rapidly. And then God started teaching him knowledge from it. In the beginning, it was just, okay, my Bible's the Word of God. That's it. That's all I have to work with. But he was a scientist, and he needed something testable. He said, God, I really believe that your word works. At least that's what I've been told. And he says, I'm a scientist, so I'm very pragmatic. I need to put this to a test. So he's flipping through the scriptures and, okay, this one will work. I can test this one. Mark 11:24, the prayer of faith. Whatsoever you ask in my name, believing you receive, you shall have it. And so he says, okay, God, I'm going to put this to the test for 30 days. And if it fails one time, I'm walking away. Because if it fails one time, you're not somebody I can trust. But if it's right there all 30 times, you got me for life, forever. And needless to say, God is true to his word, and it worked every single time. And so that was really awesome. Now what the word of God has to say about being a child of God, let's look at Hebrews 5:13-14. If you want to turn there, you're welcome to, or if you want to just listen, I'm going to be going pretty fast. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Verse 14 of Hebrews 5. But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. You notice the word use in there. In other words, a doer of the word, not just a hearer. That's how we grow. John 8:31, then said Jesus to those Jews who believed on him. Now these are believers. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. So here we see there are two kinds of believers. There's everyone who believes, and then there's the disciple. The disciple is the one who is a doer of the word. The word disciple is the same basic root as the word discipline. So that already indicates there's going to be some work involved, some time, some effort involved. It's not the ones that just become Christians and float. They're believers, but the disciples are the ones that take the time, make the time, get involved with the Word of God and doing things God's way, and they grow from it then. Matthew 6:33-34, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. So here it is, God saying, seek the kingdom of God. Seek me and my ways, he's saying, and all these things. Take no thought for the morrow. Don't be worried. Don't try to figure things out on your own. Walk with me. Let me show you. Let me take you. Let me lead you. For the morrow will take thought for the things of itself. So when a child grows up, now he's becoming a mature son of God. And we can't break our bad habits by ourselves, because our bad habits are founded in demonic attacks and attachments. So we need to grow into the place where we learn the power of the Word of God and how God can work with us on these things. Looking at 1 John chapter 3, verses 1, 2, and 3. Behold, what manner of love, and this is the agape love of God, that the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. You see, sometimes there's persecution because you're a Christian, because you live, speak, eat Jesus. And it's the Jesus in you that brings the persecution. The people aren't after you. Satan's not after you per se. He's after the Jesus in you. If you're strong with Jesus, then yes, he wants to take you down so you're not spreading the gospel. 1 John 3:2, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. Verse 3, and every man that has this hope in himself purifies himself, cleanses himself, even as he, Jesus, is pure. So we do our best and trust God to do the rest. Romans 8:14-15. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. There's that intimacy. We're growing up. We're now becoming sons of God, and he's our Abba. Going on with verses 16 and 17 in Romans 8, the Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and this is unity here. Romans 8:17, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Praise God. How awesome. Now, there's another role that we play here. We're now sons. We're more mature. We're ready to take on more responsibility, a new role. And this one is called ambassador. Ambassador. We know that the United States sends ambassadors to other countries, and other countries send ambassadors to the United States. And when someone from the U.S. is in another country, the land upon which the building rests, the embassy, the car in which the ambassador drives, this is all considered U.S. territory. And basically, they're desired to respect the laws of the land, but where there's a differentiation, this is U.S. soil. Don't you dare come here. People have diplomatic immunity as ambassadors. Diplomatic immunity. That means that basically you're a world unto your own. We represent the kingdom of heaven. We represent God and Jesus Christ. We are ambassadors of God. So that means that technically we are here on earth, but we're passing through. We're from heaven. We live here. But our first priority is to God. Yes, we respect the laws of the land, except where the laws of the land conflict with the Word of God. And we need to put the Word of God first in our lives. We need to make God the absolute, bottom line, final authority in our lives. So here we are from heaven passing through the earth. Jesus said he'll return from us when all of his enemies have been made his footstool. Well, who's going to do that? Guess who? We are. He's leaving it up to us to make his enemies his footstool, that they come under our feet and we're the body of Christ, so they will then be under the feet of Jesus. So the last enemy to be overcome, the Word of God says, is death. And we must be the ones to put death under and refuse to die. God is life. The devil is death. So every time we make a choice to partner, remember, God is life. The devil is death. Every time we make a decision to go into sin, to compromise, to be the one that chases the guy off the highway because we got upset or offended at something, we're siding with the devil and we're partnering with the God of death. I think sometimes when I put it that bluntly, you know, it's like, never thought of it like that. But maybe we need to think of it like that. Maybe that would help us in making some of our decisions. If we see it as that black and white, that blunt, that this choice or that choice, there's no middle ground. There's no, you know, my way or the highway or Frank Sinatra's way. You know, it's God's way or the devil's way. That's it. And all of us, all of mankind, have the same two choices. The difference is that, unfortunately, most of the world doesn't know that. But we do. God's given us the blessing and the grace to see this, to understand this, to be able to know the difference. How awesome. So we can be bold. We're talking about authority and dominion, right? So we can be bold and tell the devil, guess what? You can't kill me. You can't kill me. You cannot and you may not. We take away his permission. We close the door, we slam it in his face and say, no, I will live and declare the works of the Lord. I will be alive and remain when Jesus returns for me. Jesus says in Luke 18:8, when I return, shall I find faith? Another translation, perhaps a better one might be, he's saying, I shall return when I find faith. And who's going to live the faith? We are. We need to be the ones that enter into the fullness of faith and trusting in God. 1 Corinthians 15:51 says, we shall not all die, but will all be changed when the redeemed hear his voice. And remember in Matthew 26:53, we have the right to command angels. We want to implement all the tools and the weapons that God's word has available for us that we've read, we've learned, we've seen. Now let me focus on some scriptures here about ambassadorship. Looking at Ephesians 6:18-20, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now, this is a very powerful tool for us as ambassadors. Prayer. In these last days, prayer is going to become more and more the most important and most powerful weapon that we can use. I really feel sad when people try everything else and then say, oh, well, when all else fails, maybe we should pray. No, make prayer your first priority. Go to God. We're talking about intimacy with Him. We're talking about getting close to Him. We want to be able to talk with Him, to trust Him, right? And so this is it. We pray. Prayer is nothing more than talking with God. Putting it out to Him. Here's a need, Lord. What should I do? And okay, go do this. We get our guidance and our direction through prayer. The spiritual soldier's main job is prayer. Now, Ephesians 6:19, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Open my mouth boldly and speak. What's that? The sword of the Spirit. I'm speaking forth the word of the living God, the living word of the living God, and it is powerful. To make known the mystery of the gospel. Verse 20, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. And remember about diplomatic immunity. When we are close to God, when we are seeking the direction of the Holy Spirit, when we are saying, Lord, where should I go? When should I go? To whom should I speak? What should I say? If He's guided you, He's told you to go here and say that to this person, then do it. Be bold. And your diplomatic immunity is God's there. His protection is with you as you go forth in that trust and that power and authority. Now, in 2 Corinthians 5:18, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Okay, this is part of the job of the ambassador. We're to reconcile the world to Jesus Christ, one by one, letting them know there is a Savior, there is a way out. Things don't have to be so terrible. God loves you. He doesn't hate you. He's forgiven you. He sent His Son Jesus to pay the price for you so you wouldn't have to pay it, because you can't pay it. But Jesus did it already. All you have to do is receive. This is the ministry of reconciliation. God's not mad at people. He wants them on board. He created hell for the devil and his demons, not for people. 2 Corinthians 5:20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, for the anointed one and His anointing. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in God's stead, be ye reconciled to God. So we stay close to God. We stay reconciled to Him ourselves so that we can pass on that word of reconciliation. Matthew 26:53, Jesus is saying, thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father and He shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? Yeah, well, now it's us. Jesus won the war. He won all the battles. He paid the price. He gave us His name, His power, His authority. We walk in that. And we command. And we've got our angels. I believe each one of us has probably thousands of angels. Are we using them? Are we commissioning them? Or are they waiting for us? Waiting on us to send a command of the word of God. We speak forth the word of God. We speak in power and authority through the name of Jesus. And then they're like, okay, I have an assignment. Okay, I get to do something now. How exciting. Okay, it's my turn. You have to wait for yours. But that's what it's all about. They're there for us. God created the angels to be ministers unto the heirs of salvation. Our angels are there. Let's use them. Let's give them a prominent place. You know, one time when my husband was overseas and they were ministering in a two-story house, and this house had a housekeeper. And this housekeeper had a challenge, she said, the doctor said, with her heart. And so she couldn't go upstairs. But they prayed. They prayed a powerful prayer from the Word of God. And the next day, guess what? She passed out a 6-foot tapeworm. So that tells you there are some things inside of us, right?
There's some things inside of
us. Yeah, most of us don't have that, thank God. But you know, you take something called acidophilus, and that has billions of little characters that have to do with digestion and whatnot. There are all kinds of things going on in our bodies. Some good, some not so good. And the some that are not so good are called demons, devils, and evil spirits that have attached themselves. Sometimes they're on us, sometimes they're in us, sometimes they're influencing us. So again, as ambassadors, we're going through and getting rid of the things that do not belong. God is our life. He is our strength. So, praise the Lord. Just something to think about as we get closer to God. You know, we pray a prayer. God, I want more of you, more of Jesus, less of me. Well, I think that's backwards, because I think we need to make room for him. And we make room for him by getting rid of that in us, which is not of God, to make room for more of God in us. Does that make sense to you? It's putting the horse before the cart, not the other way around, which we often do. Okay, so we're ambassadors, we're active as ambassadors, and now God tells us we are priests. Okay, it's not just one person that is in a church that you go to that's considered a priest. In God's church, every born-again Christian is a priest, which is pretty amazing. Now, some say that, okay, some of the Christians are priests and they minister. And then some of them are kings and they are the ones that are to provide the money to the priest so they can minister. But you know what God says? He says we're both kings and priest. Each one of us is a king and a priest. In Revelation 1:6, and he hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Praise God. Ephesians 1:19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places? Are you getting this? The Holy Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is in you, and he's in me. He resides in us because we're born again, because we're of the church age. We are privileged. We are just, it's such a joy to know that God lives in us. He doesn't just partner with us. He lives in us. He's our holy guest in our temple of the Holy Spirit. For we are now the body of Jesus Christ. This Ephesians 1 prayer is very, very powerful. It's one you probably want to do every single day for you, for your family. Ephesians 1:21, far above, far, far, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but in that which is to come. So this is an ongoing situation through eternity. Acts 3:16, his name through faith in his name. That's the name of Jesus. that is so powerful, and it's in His name that we are priests, and it's His name that we operate as priests. But as I said, we are also kings, and we are filled with all the fullness of God. Oh my goodness, God called us kings and priests. He wants to fill us with all of His fullness, from our whole being just full of God. Let me read the scriptures on King. Revelation 1:5, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Now, what kings of the earth is God referring to here? Say it again. Us. Yes. If we are kings and priests, He has made us kings and priests, and He is King of kings, then He's king over all of us, over all of His body. We are the kings of the earth that He's referring to, that He is the king over. Do we think of ourselves as royalty? We should, because we are. You know, it's coming to that realization of who we really are in Jesus Christ. And as we learn more and more who we are, we realize we're something pretty special. And we're something very special to God. Think about it. Think about if you were the only one out of all humanity of all time that ever said yes to Jesus. You know, I fully believe, I have absolutely no doubt in my mind nor my heart that Jesus would have gone through all the torture and misery and pain and death that He did. He'd do it just for you. Just for you. That's how much He loves you. And that's you and 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 you. And me too. Praise God. So awesome. Ephesians 3. Now here's another awesome prayer. Ephesians 1 and 3 should be part of your everyday prayer life. That He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ, again the anointed one, and His anointing may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ. That's that agape love again, which passes knowledge. We can't understand it. We can't explain it. It just is so amazing and so wonderful. It passes knowledge, and He wants us to be filled with all the fullness of God. Colossians 2, verses 8 through 10. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. It's the choice. And where is in the world? In the Word, doesn't it say that those that are in the world are at enmity with God? That's very, very blunt. Verse 9, for in Him, in Jesus, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Verse 10, and you are complete in Him, because He is the head of all principality and power. In Him, we have all that we need. It's amazing. It's amazing. It's awesome. You know, there was one time when Pastor Joshua and I were in the Philippines, and we were ready for a conference. It was scheduled to begin at noon on Friday and go through the weekend. And there was this super typhoon that was predicted by the weatherman for Manila, not just for the Philippines, because the Philippines are hundreds or thousands of islands. But no, they were saying this was zeroing in on Manila, and it was going to hit with a vengeance. And there were just lots of things going on. Now, here we are. We're ready for a Christian conference. These are church leaders, people who are supposed to be walking in authority and dominion, right? So are we going to sit back and say, oh gosh, I guess we're going to have to postpone these meetings? In fact, one of the members of the church asked the pastor's wife, well, should we go to the store and get a whole lot of candles? She says, for what? Well, you know, when the typhoon hits and the power goes out, she goes, didn't we just pray that the typhoon would go elsewhere, that it would not hit here, and that we continue on as scheduled? Yeah. Okay, so we don't need candles then, do we? Faith. We believe that we've prayed. We believe God's heard our prayer. We believe that he's answered our prayer even before we see it. This is what faith is all about. Then we continue on with our lives as scheduled. We don't make any changes. We don't give in to it. And in fact, a friend at home was told, oh, I hear there's a big typhoon coming to Manila, but Pastor Joshua is there. And he goes, oh, Pastor Joshua's there. Typhoon won't hit Manila. I said, how do you know that? He goes, well, I know Pastor Joshua, and I know the kind of prayers he prays, and I know he's already prayed, and that typhoon's got to go somewhere else. And when it did hit with a vengeance, but we got a little bit of rain in Manila, you know, a little bit of wind, nothing too fantastic, nothing, you know, just like a little tropical storm as compared to a five typhoon. Category 5 typhoon was not for us. Praise God. So that's taking our authority, right? That's knowing how to pray. That's being good stewards of the Word of God and reaching out, because we've been able to use that as a testimony for a lot of people so they can see how this plays out in everyday life, how we apply the Word of God, and how we grow in the Word of God, and we grow in our relationship with God. And so now he says, okay, great. Now we're a priest, we're a king, and now we've grown to level 7, which is God of our own world. God over our body, God over our own world, and the things that affect us. We got to remember that we have free will, that we grow like a seed. Remember, a seed gets planted. And remember, a seed has to actually die first in order to grow. So that's us dying to self in the old ways and the old habits and saying, God, I want more of you. So here I am, I'm planting myself, and now I'm growing and growing. And I may start down here as a little teeny seed, and then I grow and 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 I grow. And for me, I am now at full stature. Not as tall a stature as my husband, but that's what makes us unique creations. Each one of us is beautiful and special and precious in God's sight. We cannot rush it. We cannot rush it. Sometimes we want to go from level 1 to level 7. Like, oh, there's all these levels. Oh, okay, I'm down here. But I want to be up there. Maybe I can just make a big jump. No, we need to take it step by step. You don't know too many people that enter kindergarten one day and graduate college the next, right? Doesn't work that way. There has to be the knowledge and the relationship and the time to develop things. That's what we grow into, because what's happening as we grow more intimate with God, it's a relationship. It's an experience. It's a growing into the fullness of what he created us for. That's what we need to be seeking, is God created each one of us with a very special plan and purpose in mind. And he wants us to live the fullness of what he created us for. So we need to find out what that is. Because not only will he be happy, but we'll be totally satisfied. There'll be nothing lacking, nothing missing in our lives when we're following his way fully of what he created for us. Let me read some scriptures here for God of your world. John 10, 34, 35, 36. Jesus answered them, "Is it not written in your law? I said, you are gods." He called them gods unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken. Verse 36, "Say ye of him whom the Father has sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God." Now, what was he quoting? He was looking back to Psalm 82:6, where Psalm 82:6 says, "I have said, ye are gods." So Jesus was quoting the scripture. "And all of you are children of the Most High God." You know, most churches you go in and say, "Yes, we're children of the Most High God." And they go, "Yes, amen, brother. Amen, sister." And they're all excited for that. But then this is part of the same sentence. And for those of you that know English, if there's an "and" in between, it's these are two parts of the same thing and they go together. And you really can't have one without the other, kind of like what? Love and marriage, the hand in the glove, that kind of thing. Yes, we are gods. God is saying that. Does that sound presumptuous to say we are gods? Well, not if God said it about us. How are we being presumptuous? No, we need to say about ourselves what God says about us. And we're supposed to be in the image of Jesus Christ, right? And he said he was God. He was the Son of God. How much more should we be the same? Our common phraseology is chips off the old block. You know, that concept. Okay, 2 Peter 1, 2 and 3. "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord." Knowledge, knowledge. You notice God does not say in his word that we are destroyed for a lack of faith. It says, God said, "My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge." We need to read and study the word of God. Because that's where we get our knowledge. That's where it is. That's where it comes from. And we've got the Holy Spirit in us. The Holy Spirit who helped men through the ages write all those books. And he will also teach us from those books. Okay, 2 Peter 1, verse 3 now. "According to his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the," there it is again, "the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature." If we're gods, we've got to have a divine nature, right? And there it is. He says, yes, this belongs to you. You are kings. You are holy. You are gods. You are priests. We are all of these things in him. "Partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." Romans 6:11 says, "Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead unto sin." We've got to make a decision. We're choosing. We tell God, we tell heaven, hell, and earth, we're choosing to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's where our life comes from, the very breath that we breathe, the very oxygen that keeps our bodies alive. This comes from God. Matthew 6:24, and 25. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. And that, again, is dying to self in the ways of the world. Matthew 10:34, 35, and 36. Jesus said, think not that I am come to send peace on earth. And then he's talking about how there will be some family members against each other. But then in verse 37, he that loveth father or mother more than me. He makes it very clear there. It's not that you don't want to love your family, but you must love God first and foremost. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Wow, very strong. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. You know, the only way we can love our family members is to let the love of God flow through us. So we need to be close to him to be able to operate in proper relationship with our family members and our friends and our neighbors. So we put God first at all times, and he will work everything else out. He that taketh up not his cross and followeth not after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. He that loses his life for my sake shall find it. We find it in God. Woo! That's our life. Our life. Just the very word life sounds powerful, wonderful, vibrant. That's what it is. Romans 8, 1 and 2. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus and who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Not after the world, but after God. Romans 8, 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. It's all about godly knowledge and the choice of the application of that knowledge. As for me and my household, we are and will continue to serve the Lord. Amen.